grace, mercy, and peace. These blessings and so many more are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is our Old Testament lesson from Joshua chapter 4. My dear fellow children of God, in our Old Testament lesson, we heard of the 12 stones that Joshua had the Israelites mark God's miracle with. If those stones could talk, what stories would they tell? But before we consider that, ask yourself this. If the bricks and stones of the walls here at Mount Olive could talk, what stories would they tell? Stories of a baby's baptism with grandma or great-grandma so proudly watching from the front pew. Stories of people who week after week find this to be their second home, this house of God, and find so much comfort, not just in the fellowship of people who share the same faith, but also the comfort that they find from God's word. The stories that these walls could tell, I think back to my oldest first children's Christmas service when it was still here at Mount Olive. And I was that parent who staked out the front pew of the balcony long before the service started. And then watched Megan walk in as they sang, "O Come All Ye Faithful." And I could hardly see her because there was something in my eye. The stories these walls could tell. The stories the walls of our school could tell of young people who learn of those miracles of Jesus, of children who sat in Miss Leverson's first grade classroom and day after day ended that day with, "Jesus, Savior, wash away all that I've done wrong today." And now those children have taught their children that same story, that same song. The stories that these walls could tell. In many ways, there is such a strong connection between these stones of these walls and the stones of 3,000+ years ago that Joshua established along the Jordan. But the common denominator is not the material of the stones. The common denominator is the testimony that they share. Because without that testimony of God's word, those stones are meaningless. What we want to consider this morning is who is going to tell what these stones mean, to explain a very, very marvelous past, but also to exclaim a very confident future. Explain a marvelous past. Go back 3,000 years in time and think of how those Israelites must have felt standing there on the banks of the Jordan River. The vast majority of them had never experienced slavery in Egypt. The majority of them had been wandering now for so many years in the wilderness, and now they're standing at the banks of this flood-swollen river, and there had never been an opportunity for swimming lessons. There was no bevy of boats tied up to the shore. How are they going to cross that river? And we might think, but of course they should know, because they crossed the Red Sea. Most of them had never witnessed that. They probably had heard stories around the campfire from mom and dad or grandma and grandpa saying, "Remember when the Egyptian army was behind us and the Red Sea in front of us?" But like many young people, after a time, they probably rolled their eyes at those very same stories, repeated over and over and over again, and probably thought, "Sure, Grandpa, just like the big fish you caught." And so now they stand there at their own body of water with their own doubts and fears, and they say, but what now? What are we going to do? If you have a chance this afternoon, grab your Bible and read all of Joshua chapters 3 and 4 and appreciate the context of our text this morning. As always, God intervenes for his people. The water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. On dry ground. Not on a muddy, murky river bottom, but on perfectly dry ground as they passed by that Ark of the Covenant. You wonder what stories they would tell as they walked over that rocky river bottom. You wonder how many of them poked each other and said, "Hey, remember Grandpa's story about the Red Sea? Look, we're doing it again." How many of them would have said, if only Mom and Dad could be here with us? God took care of his people. We're told in the last verse of our text, "He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." So they took those 12 stones and they established maybe the first national park, a national monument, where over and over they could retell the story of what God had done for them. How about our marvelous past? Have we forgotten our marvelous past? And perhaps the problem is that we look at our past and we're afraid that it's not so marvelous. Because every week we come here to God's house, and it's not so marvelous to confess that I am by nature sinful and unclean. It's not so marvelous to admit that God is exactly right when he says, "There is no one who does good, not even one." For any of you that attended this grade school, not so marvelous to remember some of the things you did when your teacher wasn't looking. And yet what is marvelous is that God never leaves us with just that bad news. But instead, week after week, I come here to God's house and I hear the voice of Pastor Wardell or Pastor Zank, who says, "I, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, forgive you all your sins." And I realize that's their voice, but that's not really them. That's Jesus. That's what these stones and these bricks, those are the stories they have to tell. And our Mount Olive family, what stories we have heard, what stories we have seen of children who in our Sunday school and our Lutheran grade school have learned the way of the Lord and then stood in front of this altar at the age of 13 or 14 and confessed their faith to be faithful to the point of death, and then kneel for the very first time at that altar and receive Jesus' body and blood. The stories that we enjoy as this family at Mount Olive of watching a father walk his daughter up a wedding aisle and then hearing her and her groom pledge their love for each other and proclaim that their greatest love is not the love they have in their heart, but a love that is found first of all, in Christ. The stories of your own family, as you have sat in that pew, and through your tears you have heard Jesus say, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die." Those are the stories of our remarkable past. Those are the stories that we love to share. But who will proclaim these stories in the future? Who will tell what these stories, these stones mean, explain a marvelous past, but also exclaim a very, very confident future? I'm not sure the Israelites were so confident as they stood on the shore of the Jordan River. Even after they crossed to the other shore of the Jordan River, they had to remember that 10 of those 12 spies had said, "It's a wonderful land, a land flowing with milk and honey, but there's no way we can conquer those enemies. Cities so big like Jericho, surrounded by huge walls, what are we going to do?" And yet, God said, "I will proclaim, exclaim for you a very confident future. In chapter 5 of Joshua, we're told, "Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the seacoast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we had crossed over, their hearts sank, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites." God was at work for his people. Why a miraculous crossing instead of something simple? To make a point not just to the Israelites, but to their enemies. Such a confident future. And God does the same for you and for me. What is our future? Never buy into Satan's lie that the best has always been in the past. Because the best is always yet to come for a child of God. Don't buy into Satan's lie as you turn on TV and watch CNN or Fox News or a Super Bowl halftime show and say, "What is the world coming to? It was better back in the day." God's promises don't age. God's promises don't have an expiration date. And God doesn't say, "Look in your rearview mirror and long for the good old days." But God says, "Look out the windshield and recognize all of the blessings and all of the opportunities that I am placing in front of you." And when you stand at your own Jordan River, a Jordan River flowing with challenges that you don't begin to comprehend, a Jordan River flowing with cancer or grief or divorce or the loss of a family, recognize that the God of the Israelites that parted that Jordan River, that parted a Red Sea 40 years before that, is the same God who will get you across your Jordan River. But who is going to share what those stones mean? Who will go and tell? Martin Luther College, for over 100 years, 155 years as Dr. Martin Luther College and Martin Luther College, has prepared young men and women for the teaching and, in the last 25 years, the preaching ministry. We have so many challenges in front of us. Over 1,200 congregations, but 110 pastoral vacancies. We face a shortage of teachers with empty classrooms and schools with no principals. 3,000 men have requested pastoral training. That is 30 times the size of our Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary in Mequon, but we aren't able to provide it because we don't have the men to provide it. We have a country who has invited us to establish a Lutheran high school with our own curriculum, but we had to say no because we don't have people to staff the faculty. 54 countries where we are trying to serve children with the good news of Jesus. Who will go and tell? Martin Luther College is beginning a 2-year campaign called Equipping Christian Witnesses. And the first pillar of that campaign is recruiting future pastors and teachers and staff ministers. 15 years ago, MLC had nearly 1,100 students on campus. By God's grace and through our prayers, the goal is that in the next 5 years, we would get an increase enrollment by 35% to almost match that 1,100 instead of less than the 900 are on campus now. When you have an opportunity, look at the flyer that is in your mailbox and read through that. And then pray and pray boldly that God would move young men and women to consider ministry. And that we would then, as a church body, be able to support them with the second pillar, financial aid, and retain them with the third pillar, enhanced facilities at Martin Luther College. This morning, who do you know who has the gift to be a pastor or teacher? Your own son or daughter, a grandchild? Perhaps the high school student that babysits your kids? Or the high school student who is one of your kids' Sunday school teachers? Or the young man that you watch at FVL or play at Appleton North, and you recognize his leadership gifts, and you say, he has gifts to be a pastor or a principal. Pray that God would lead us to not discourage by saying, but you have so many gifts that you could do so many other things so much better. But encourage, saying, would you consider the gifts God has given you to change somebody's life, not just this side of heaven, but for eternity? What a privilege. What a privilege to share with the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. If these stones and bricks could talk, what would you hear? From the classroom walls, what you would hear is every single one of your teachers, every September, every August, September, praying that God would give them the patience and the love of their good shepherd as they take care of the children, the lambs entrusted to their care. A prayer, no doubt, prayed even more fervently in the middle of January than it was in August. If the walls of that sacristy could talk, what would you hear? What you would hear is years upon years, decades of pastors who, before they walk out during that opening bell, pray that God would bless their words and the meditation of their hearts. And they trust not in themselves, but in their rock and their Redeemer, because they realize there is no way they should have the uncommon privilege of standing in this pulpit. Who will tell what these stones and those stones along the Jordan mean? God's word is our great heritage. God's word stands forever. And the Christ who called the 12 is the Christ who will continue to call young men and women on ways before untrod. But until that day that you and I and our children and grandchildren see the Word of God made flesh in heaven with our own eyes, may God continue to encourage us to share with the next generation all that Jesus has done for them. Amen.